The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. It's good to sit with you. In kind of a weird mood. Not bad, but weird. Anyway, it's nice to dwell in Dharma together. So good in the beginning, good in the middle, good in the end. And as far as I can tell, that's true about this path. And but the goodness evolves. And I wanted to say some words about the connection between goodness and interest. So some of the goodness of Dharma can't really be imagined at the beginning of the path. You wouldn't be able to believe it. And in the beginning, we might idealize the Dharma in some ways, might be naive hopes about what it will do for our problems, for our ego. We might put lineages or teachers or specific teachings on pedestals, but that's not exactly the goodness of the Dharma. It takes time and patience to open to just how good it is, and it kind of can't be summarized easily. And that's what Dharma talks are trying to do, struggling to do. But through thick and thin, you know, the Dharma must serve us in good times, but also needs to serve us in times of difficulty. And when life in one way or another has brought us like to a place of deep need, maybe desperation, that's only when you can see how good the Dharma actually is. And how does the goodness of the path come into view? Well, when I give Dharma talks, it's like I often feel some implicit pressure to give a kind of assignment, to give something to do. And sometimes I do give assignments, but I try not to collude with the delusion that the goodness lies outside of you. And much of the goodness of the path cannot be catalyzed by hearing an instruction about what you should do. The goodness of the path emerges out of interest, dhammavicaya, usually rendered as investigation of phenomena, and sometimes as investigation of the law, dhammavicaya. And that can convey a sense that it's a kind of intellectual investigation or analytic or figuring something out, but it's really sincere, non-transactional interest. Sincere, non-transactional interest. Sincere meaning unforced, genuine. It has nothing to do with should, your should, my should. and non-transactional in the sense that it's intrinsically motivated. And we're not outcome focused. We're not bartering our effort for some prize. If I do this, I get that. Dhammavacaya investigation, it's one of the seven factors of enlightenment, but it has deep connections to the other factors. Mindfulness depends on some measure of interest, of curiosity. When it feels like you're kind of like performing knowing, it's like studying a subject that bores you. And energy depends on curiosity. It's very hard to sustain effort when you're gunning for some outcome. But when there's genuine curiosity, this kind of sincere, non-transactional interest, when there's that, the effort feels natural and unforced. It's like, okay, the goodness is like found through our own interest. Sayadaw Tejaniya said that something stayed with me, said something like, usually meditators are not interested in learning the truth of body-mind. We're actually interested in controlling body-mind. It's worth looking, like just how deep the agenda to control rather than to open runs in us. And he said that when we're trying to control, there's tension. We get tired quickly, get bored. And so instead, it's just being with the experience in a very simple way. That's what leads to truth. And curiosity, we could say this interest is that impulse to connect rather than control. And Michelle McDonald talks about karmic knots often, these kind of places of deep pain where the Dharma simply does not seem like it ever penetrates, it never soaks in. And we might know the issue, the knot, we've tried hard to work with it, we've done everything. We've brought all of our effort and sincerity and mindfulness and loving kindness and compassion, tried to feel it in our body, tried to apply the antidotes and tried to deconstruct it and untangle and everything. There it is. Michelle says, we're learning to have that deep, unconditional acceptance. We're not trying to get rid of it. With a karmic knot, if you manage to open to it, try to keep some relationship with the anchor. The line between accepting it and trying to get rid of it is very thin. That's the definition of a karmic knot. You'll think you're there because you're accepting it, but that's not how it works. That little part of you that wants to get rid of it slips in. You don't see it. And all you're doing is reinforcing aversion by staying with it. I believe our karmic knots are our teachers in this life. It's not going to open unless you truly want a relationship with it. Truly want a relationship with it. That's a way of talking about interest and curiosity, investigation. When the interest isn't there, don't pretend it is. We can't command ourselves to get interested. And we can't fake it. There's a certain measure of patience. We keep practicing. We keep listening to Dharma. We keep opening our hearts up to it. We keep close to spiritual friends. Keep close to Sangha. And at some point, something happens. It might have been a week of feeling uninspired or years. But at some point, someone else's being will affect you in a deep way. Something they did or said or some way they were. And their freedom or their courage, their suffering, their love, something will ignite sincerity, interest, willingness again. Maybe it's the preciousness of our own human birth that bears down on us. And then we get interested. We get interested. It's from our own heart. And then we just follow that thread. And the when we're not making demands of the practice, the blessings of practice start raining down. The love gets richer. The sense of goodness becomes more and more multi-layered, multi-textured, like the love. Maybe the love for a person that one's loved for many years, richer. It's hard to summarize a love like that. And the love is a kind of virtuous cycle. The love stimulates more interest and curiosity. The goodness stimulates more interest and curiosity, and we keep going even though we've arrived. So offer this for your consideration. I wish you all well. Well, I won't have class next week. I'll be doing a retreat for young adults. See you back following week, I think the 13th. All right, I wish you all well. Thanks.